This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise and thanks belong Allah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him and we seek His help and aid and forgiveness. And we ask Him to protect us from the evil within us and the sins that we commit. Indeed, whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whosoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is His slave and messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the worst of religious matters are those that are innovated, and every religious innovation is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance will be in hellfire. Amma ba'd. In case we do not know or we forgot, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to the people who are attending Salatul Jum'ah and listening to the Khatib, وَمَنْ مَسَّ الْحَصَى فَقَدْ لَغَى, and the one who messes with the pebbles which he used to furnish the masjid at that point, فَقَدْ لَغَى, he had committed لَغُ, وَمَنْ لَغَى فَلَا جُمْعَةَ لَهُ, and the one who commits لَغُ has no Jum'ah. So extending that till today, you know, do not play with your phone, do not look at your phone. And similarly, inshaAllah, do not talk to your neighbor, to your colleague, to your friend. But when you come, inshaAllah, to the musalla, you pray your two rak'ahs and you just listen, right? Just listen. As I'm doing it right now, people are still talking to him. Just listen, right? Just listen. Do not talk to your neighbor. Don't, you know, play with your phone, inshaAllah. You know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, bi'idhnillah, I know you have the patience and the power, insha'Allah, to stay without your phone for 20, 30 minutes. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ خِلْفَةً لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَن يَذَكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا. He says, and Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who had made day and night khilfa, they follow each other. لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَن يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا, for the ones who want to remember and for those who want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Allah tells you that He, one of the reasons that He has created night and day in the fashion that He did is that by their movement, they remind those who want to remember of what's going to come next. They remind the person of the hereafter of Allah Azza wa Jal. They have the power to do this. And in fact, everything that Allah has created in this dunya reminds you of the hereafter. Has the power and the potential to be a reminder of the hereafter if a person, especially a believer, a Muslim, has his and her eyes open. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about several things, whether it's there in the Quran or in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that they are in this dunya but they remind you of the hereafter. And that is mostly for the believers. So for instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the fire that you use in this world, نَحْنُ جَعَلْنَاهَا تَذْكِرَةَ وَمَتَاعًا لِلْمُقْوِينَ. It says, we have made it, the fire, تَذْكِرَة, a reminder, and an aid for travelers. So aid for travelers, this is something that we understand, we can comprehend. But Allah is saying, we made it a reminder. How is the fire that you're using, that you use to cook, a reminder?
Of course, you need to have the vision, the transparency for you to be able to see this. But how is it a reminder? Because the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said that this fire of yours in this dunya is one part of 70 parts of the fire of Jahannam. Or any person who looks at it has the power to extrapolate, to extend and say, this thing that exists right here will be, subhanAllah, many times more in the hereafter. So if it burns me here, if it terrifies me here, how would I be able to deal with it in hell? And a lot of the Salaf, may Allah be pleased with them, when they would see the fire, someone, for instance, a blacksmith is using it. One of the Sahaba would pass by a blacksmith and he's using the fire and the fire is melting iron. When he would stop, he would start crying because he sees what it can do to a tough physical body like that. How could a body like ours withstand it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, we have made this a reminder. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said that the extreme, in an authentic hadith, he says that the extreme heat that you find and the extreme cold are both reminders of the extreme heat and the extreme cold. Where? In hellfire. A lot of people do not know that hellfire has extreme cold as well as extreme heat. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that there is a connection between the two, a cause and effect between the two. So when you have, when you experience a very hot summer day, it's not just there for it to be a hot summer day. Of course, right, you need to be patient with it, etc., etc. But there is something beyond that only those with iman will be able to see, that this heat reminds you of the heat of hellfire. And when you encounter the bitterness of the cold in winter, it's not just bitter cold, but it's a bitter cold to remind you of the bitter cold, the intolerable cold that will be in hellfire. So a person does not stop with what is happening to them in this dunya, but they think about its connection to the hereafter. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu says in a statement authentic to him radiyallahu anhu, he says, lamma akhraj Allahu Adama min al-janna a'taahu min thamari al-janna fama ta'kuluna al-ana min thamari al-janna illa innahu yataghayyar wa dhaka la yataghayyar. In an authentic statement to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, a sahabi. And it is said that when a Sahabi utters something like this, especially when he has not learned it from the people of the book, and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari did not learn it from the people of the book, it means that this is something that he had heard from whom? From Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because such a statement is not something that he can bring on his own. He said that when Allah azza wa jal removed Adam from Jannah, he gave him from the fruits of Jannah. So he says the fruits that you are eating here on this earth are from the fruits of Jannah that Adam was given. Except that what you have here withers and changes and decays, and what Allah Azza wa Jal has in Jannah does not suffer from that. SubhanAllah. Because this is a testimony to what Allah Azza wa Jal says that the believers say in Jannah. And he mentions that in Surah Al-Baqarah. كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا. Whenever they will be provided with something, blessed with something, they say, this is what we have been given before. So they recognize it. But of course the color is not exactly the same color, cannot be. The taste is not exactly the taste, it cannot be. The taste and the color of Jannah is brilliant beyond description. But you have something similar to it to do what? To remind you of it. The sweetness that you taste here, whatever you are eating, sweet apples, grapes, banana, this and that, when you taste it and you enjoy it, it reminds you, you don't stop with the taste right here, but it reminds you that this came with my father Adam alayhi salam to his children. And this is something that if you really want to taste again in a way that you have not encountered before, then you have to go to Jannah for you to taste it. But Allah gave it to you so that you can taste it here. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He speaks in the Quran about clothing, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا, He says, we have given you clothing. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, this is part of the ni'mas of Allah that we do not actually thank Him a lot for. We have given you clothing to do two things. To cover your nakedness, what embarrasses you, and also to beautify you, warisha, to beautify you. But Allah does not stop there. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ, but the garment of taqwa, that is better. When you want to clothe yourself with something, you pick the best color, most expensive fabric, the best brands, and you think that you're clothed the best when you've done this. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, no, you have missed the best type of garment and the best type of clothing. That is the clothing and the garment of taqwa. So Allah Azza wa Jalla wants you to remember every time that you buy something or you put on something and you like it, that there is something much more valuable than the thing that you're putting on. That is the taqwa. And it, you can actually take it a step further. You can ask yourself, I'm wearing this right now, but when I die, what type of clothing will I be wearing? Will it be a clothing of Jannah that will be tailored right specifically for you, comes out of the trees of Jannah specifically for you? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when one of the Sahaba was touching silk, he commented, the Sahaba, he says, you Prophet of Allah, he says, this is so soft, silk so soft. He says, the handkerchief of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, or the Sahabi we was talking about in the Jannah, is softer than this. Whatever you will be wearing in Jannah is softer than the softest clothing that you can touch here. Will it be this? Or will it be clothing that have come out from fire, wrapping around the body of the tormented? Which one will it be? When Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran tells you to praise Him and to remember Him, and that the dua is in the sunnah, when you ride an animal and you say, Subhana alladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin, glory to the one who had enabled us, given us the power over this, and we on our own have no power over it. وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُقَلِبُونَ, and we will return to Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to remember that when you go step inside your car or any type of vehicle, any type of transport, you're moving, and that is a ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jal. But then ask yourself, where are you moving? Because there is just general movement, general, subhanAllah, destination. So Allah wants you to remember, yes, I'm going now to my home, but where really is your home? Now I'm going to so and so. Yes, I'm moving, but where are you really moving? Because all of you is moving, all of us are moving to Allah Azza wa Jal. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِهِ, you're heading to Allah Azza wa Jal, and you're going to meet Him. That is your destination right there. And if you ask about your home, where is my home? Is it the home that I bought? Is it the home in the city? Is it the home that I left behind? Where is my home? And your home is actually none other than the home that you will never leave. Because every other home that you're going to leave is not a home. The grave is not your home. The home that you buy is not your home. Where you come from is not your home. Where you live now is not your home. Where is your home? Your home is the home of your father, Adam alayhi salam. That is your first residence. And that is the one that you're supposed to go to. So you ask yourself, when you go to your home, when you buy a home, when you rent a home, yes, I have something right here, but what does my home over there look like? What place will it be in? Because you have, whether you know it or not, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, you and I, each one of us, you have two homes. You have one home with your name on it in Jannah, and you have one home with your name on it in hellfire. You have two. And you're going to get one of them. So you ask yourself, which one of them will be mine? We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to enable us to head to His direct, to head to His pleasure, and to choose the best all the time. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Astaghfirullah. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. If the dunya is supposed to remind us, actually not distract us, but to remind us of the hereafter, then we should have the common sense to invest in our hereafter as we invest in our dunya. And I'm going to talk, inshallah, to you or mention to you about two levels. Those who make equal investments and those who make the whole thing for the hereafter. But let's start with the first level. Those who, when they want to invest for the dunya, they do. They do. It's in halal ways, they do. When they eat, when they buy, when they sell, when they travel, when they do all of these things, they do it. Because they know it's halal, it's allowed, and Allah Azza wa Jalla, subhanallah, no one is going to make haram what Allah had made halal. So they do that. But they also at the same time turn their attention equally to the hereafter and they say, if I have invested this amount of time, this much money for my fleeting dunya, how about my eternal hereafter? Can I invest the same thing, the same amount of time, or at least a fraction, the same amount of money, or at least a fraction to secure my hereafter as I am securing my dunya? Can I worry at least equally about my hereafter, or at least let's start with a fraction compared to my dunya? So if I'm so worried about my new car, can I be equally worried about what kind of transport would I have in the hereafter? If I'm worried about how clean my house is or how new my house is in this dunya, can I be equally worried about how my house will look like, what it will have in it in Jannah, or God forbid, in Jahannam? Can I be worried about it? As I'm buying things from my home and beautifying it, can I think to myself, can I beautify my home in Jannah? Can I beautify it with dhikr? Can I make it bigger? Can I make it more beautiful? If I want to attain higher degrees and praise in this world, be promoted, earn more, move towards the upper classes, though that in itself is not a goal, but if I want to do that, can I think, can I move towards the upper classes in Jannah? Can I move closer to the prophets and the martyrs and the pious and to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam? If I'm not contented with the lowest grades, with the lowest stations in this life, why am I contented with the lowest grades in Jannah? Why am I not aiming higher over there, at least as I'm aiming high over here? So whatever you are, subhanAllah, investing, whatever you are doing in this life, you could equally do for the hereafter. A dollar here and a dollar there. An hour here and an hour there. If that's hard for us to do to begin with, at least a fraction, but a fraction of it. If it's a dollar here, then 25 cents there. 10 cents there. $100 here, at least a dollar there. But I'm investing, I'm putting something for my hereafter. And I'm not neglecting it. But there is a higher level. And that is a high level that we should all aspire to reach. That is the person who all of his investments, or most of his investments of the dunya, are actually for the hereafter. And that happens because of their intention. They do, apparently, on the outside, it's exactly the same thing. They go out and work. They buy stuff for their kids, for their families. They travel. They buy a new car. They buy a house. They do all of these things. But their intention behind it is not the dunya. Their intention behind it is the akhirah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, وَإِنَّكَ لَن تُنْفِقَ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَجَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا حَتَّى مَا تَجْعَلُ فِي فِي إِمْرَأَتِكَ. He says, you're not going to spend anything. Underline that. Anything that you buy which you are seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, except that Allah will reward you for it, even what you feed your wife. Even what you go outside and buy and feed your children can be something that Allah rewards you for. He says, well, how can I do this? He says, if you do it for Allah Azza wa Jal. Not simply do it begrudgingly because it's an obligation. Not just simply do it because you're the father or you're the mother. That's good that you feel that responsibility. But because you're doing it because Allah loves it, He wants that from you. When you go and buy something, you think about how can I use this to please Allah? That becomes the ibadah. That becomes an investment. How can I do it and stay away from haram? That becomes an ibadah and that becomes an investment that you will find with Allah Azza wa Jal. That is a person, wherever they look and whenever they look, they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around them. They see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind what they want to do and at the end of what they want to do. They see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the cause of their deeds and the end by which they seek their His pleasure. That is the type of life that we should aspire to live. Whenever we look, we see Allah azza wa jal. And it will take some training. It will take some time for us to have this, but at least we should try. So whether you are riding your car, whether you're going to your home, whether you're putting some new clothes on, whether you're eating something, let it remind you of the hereafter. Let it remind you of what's going to come next, and let it motivate you towards the lasting rather than the fleeting. So we ask Allah, Rabbil Alameen, Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Allah, make us of the children of the hereafter, not of the children of the dunya. Make us of those who invest for the hereafter. Make us of those who work for the hereafter. Make us of those who are in Jannah, Ya Rabbil Alameen, and elevate our ranks and our station in it, and protect us all from hellfire. Ya Rabbal Alameen, grant us a sincere repentance from every single sin that we have committed, and forgive us every single sin that we have committed, and allow us and give us the power to leave every despicable thing that you hate, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, we ask you that you bless us and bless our spouses and bless our children and bless our families and our community and bless the Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We ask you for all the good in this life and in the hereafter. And we seek your protection from all evil in this life and in the hereafter. And we ask you for Jannah and everything that brings us closer to it. And we seek your protection from hellfire and everything that brings us closer to it. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Allahumma nas'aluka al-jannata wa ma kharraba ilayha min qawlin wa amal. Wa na'udhu bika min an-nari wa ma kharraba ilayha min qawlin wa amal. Wa nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka abdu محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين فأقم الصلاة.